And a portion of scripture I love very much is in Matthew 19. Let's stand and give God the honor of reading the word. Thank you for listening to me. I don't know how else to run the thing. It just gets so huge. And I need your help. We all need each other's help. I thank God for you. I know you worked so hard. You worked so many hours. But I'll tell you what, I think that this is what Jesus would have wanted. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. Then there were brought unto him, read it, little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. You probably know, I've been your preacher for a long time. You'll notice that somebody says, preacher, would you pray for, I don't know if somebody saw me doing that today. The lady had, well, one of our ladies in our church going to have back surgery, Sharon Furr, on Wednesday. And she said, preacher, I just want you to know that I'm going to go back surgery. I said, let's pray right here. And I prayed right in the parking lot. Another family, the family from Florida, their friend just missed his name. Got it. But anyway, he's a baseball player down Tampa, and he was hit by a baseball 104 miles an hour right near. He's the pitcher. He was really. Anyway, they said, preacher, is his name Tug? Mug?
No.
You'll think of it. But anyway, I just stopped there and I said, let's pray. I think it's a big deal when someone asks you to pray right then. Because you don't, guess what you do? And you forget. Yeah, I'll pray for you. I need prayer. And so do you. So I love this where the Bible said, and he had him to touch him and to pray. There's little boys and little girls come to our church. They don't have a dad. Maybe some of them don't have a mom. They live with their grandma or live with an aunt. They live in a foster home, whatever. I really count it a great responsibility when we have these little ones in our church. And it's our job to do the best we can. Let everything else hang for 4 days of vacation Bible school. Forget the dishes in the sink. There'll always be time to clean them. You know, grab a hot dog, do something, but don't miss vacation Bible school. You're doing one of the greatest jobs in the world. This is what the Bible says. Then there were brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked him. There's always people like that. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Ooh, you imagine? Bring your little boy. Bring Conroy up to Jesus. And Jesus puts his hand on him. I'm sure Jesus says something sweet to the little guy. Amen. That's pretty neat, isn't it? How many would like to have Jesus put their hand on your baby? Amen. Father, I pray you'd help us now, Lord, as we do the greatest job that we have in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This will just be a few minutes. I know it's 7:05. We'll have you out of here by 7:30. I promise you that. One of the most exciting times at Heritage Baptist Church is our unique Vacation Bible School. I said unique Vacation Bible School. The past 30 years of history of our church, we've seen more children saved than any other single program that Heritage Baptist Church has to offer. So if it works, I guess the best thing to do is stay with it. Amen. Therefore, we dedicate ourselves to a very fast-paced week, and so that the Holy Spirit can work through us to fulfill the great commission of these precious souls that the Lord God has given us. Here at the Baptist Church, our plan is called the Romans Road that we use around here. It's an effective, simple presentation of the gospel, the book of Romans. It is proven fact that age in which the majority of Christians accept Jesus Christ their personal Savior is during childhood. Now, just to prove that, how many of you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I'll say 4 or 5 up to 8 years old. Would you stand? You got saved. 4 or 5, 8 years old. Okay, stay saying it. How about all the way up to 13? You got saved when you were 13. Some of you are a bunch of hard-knock people, aren't you? Amen. JT, did you get saved? I think you got saved between then. Amen. All right. So, would you look around? No, don't sit down yet. Look around. See how many people are sitting. Very few. So I would suspect it's very important to us from the age of 0 to 13 that these people got saved. I suspect it's very important we'd have a case of Bible school. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Bible commands us when we work with children that we not only receive a great opportunity, but we also shoulder a great responsibility of what we teach them. It's a great opportunity, it's a great responsibility. It's a great responsibility that we would make sure that no one at our church has been convicted of some sexual impropriety with a child. And if you know that, you make sure you let me know that, because you're not going to work with our children. And there's a couple reasons for that. Number one, we're liable for these children. And I want to make sure that I protect these children. Now, that may have happened, and God has forgiven you, and thank God for you, but I'm sorry you can't work with our children. It's just the way it is. That's the way it is. We are to teach the truth to these children. And we must lead them to God. We are shepherds leading these little ones to Christ. Follow me. Follow me. I'll show you. Follow me. I will teach you the Word of God. Amen. That's a great responsibility. Notice Christ's command. 18:6 of Matthew. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. That's pretty serious stuff. That's serious. Mark chapter 9:42, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him the millstone hang around his neck, cast in the sea. Luke chapter 17, verse 2, it's better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and cast into the sea that he should offend one of these little ones. I'm going to tell you something. My heart breaks for what's happening in America and happening in Montana and all that happening in Great Falls. God is very serious about what you do to children. And I want to make sure that I am extra special, careful about who we have work for our children. Amen? I want to be very careful about that. And if you see something that just doesn't look right, stop right there and say, hey, we can't do that here at Heritage Baptist Church. Well, we won't do that. By the way, in fact, every church in Great Falls has been touched with some of the junk at one time or the other. And certain things going on right now, we can't even talk about because there's uninvestigations. And so let's be very careful about that. My son must think it's time to go home because he says anyway, you can come over to our house for hamburgers. I thought I had this thing turned off. I won't answer him, okay? Just like I know you wouldn't answer yours while I'm here. The Romans Road shows a sinner four important things that we should know. Number one, he shows he's a sinner. And I will tell you, brother, that's about the toughest thing in the world to show a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old that they're a sinner. You a sinner? No, I'm not. You know why they say that? They say, if you're a sinner, you're going to get a spanking. Oh, excuse me. Time out. Time out to me is a spanking, so don't tell anybody that. Don't say you're going to give a kid a spanking. Tell him you're going to give him time out. Amen. Are you a sinner? No. You'll hear this.
I love it.
You're a sinner. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. You're talking back authority. Shut up, kid. But anyway, there. He's a sinner now. But it's real hard. I'll tell you, one of the best soul winners I know in children is old Lauren Gibbons. He had it, buddy. And I hope you're around listening to him, because he's no more. He's in heaven rejoicing for the ones that got saved under his work. So, first of all, you got to show them a sinner. If they're not a sinner, you can't win them. So why do they want to get saved? As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all that sin comes short of the glory of God. It is very important to acknowledge the lost condition. Ask him if he realized that he is a lost sinner. My prayer is that you trust God to do the work in his heart, because you can't win him anyway. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work. When you're leading a child of Christ, you can't push them, because they'll do anything you say. They'll do anything you say. You a sinner? You're a sinner. Yep. No. Number two. Show them the price of sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God's eternal life to Jesus Christ the Lord. Point out to him the terrible consequence of being a sinner. And make sure that he's made away there's a future judgment. Hey, we're going to die. And we have to pay for our sins. Number three. Show him that Jesus paid the debt for him on the cross is the greatest thing. But God commended his love towards us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Explain how Jesus had to die on the cross. Tell him that God's great love for sinners in giving his only begotten Son to die for them. Emphasize that when Jesus died on the cross, it took care of his punishment. Son, you don't have to be punished for that. And you can use it. Son, have you ever done something bad? No. Did your mama have to spank you? Best thing is that, did your mama ever have to give you time out? Yeah. How would you like it that there's someone who came by and took your time out for you? I like that. Yeah, of course I do. Working with children, use your brain. You don't have to talk about some great doctrine or thing. Just tell them that Jesus loved them. Amen. Number four, show him that he must receive Jesus Christ by an act of faith. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he's telling them, like, you know, if you were someplace and you had to jump over something, and would you jump to me? Well, yeah. Why? I could drop you. No, you wouldn't. At their tenderness, amen. Well, then you jump to me. And if you would trust me, how much more could you trust Jesus? Think of these things. You ought to be thinking all the time about telling these children about Jesus Christ. Amen? Always. Think. Write some things down. Point out that since Christ has died for their sins, all he must do is open his heart and receive him as his Savior. Make clear that even though Jesus has already died for your sins, that he's got to ask Jesus Christ to forgive him his sins. Go over it once again. Are you a sinner? Do you realize that you are a sinner? Do you know there's a price for sin? Do you realize that there's a price to pay for your sin? You know Jesus paid for that price? Do you believe that Jesus Christ paid that horrible price for you? And you must receive by faith. Will you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and come into your heart? Will you believe that he died, rose on the third day? Will you accept his gift of salvation? That's when Gibbons would hand out that quarter. And he'd already given that quarter, and he said, do you remember that quarter I gave you? Yeah. Whose is it? Well, it was mine. That's right. I gave it to you, right? Same way salvation. You just accept it. Amen. Now, I want to give you some dangers about working with children. I think there's two really. First of all, emotions. Emotion with no motion to God. Children have to be saved the same way adults have to be saved. As skilled and dramatic speakers, they can play upon the child's emotion. You want to be very careful about that. And every child has a distinct personality. Some have a greater intellect than the others at that age. You put five-year-olds together, and it's off the chart where they're at. And if you ever taught school, you know that. And the intellect also has to do with their time of concentration. Some of you have a longer concentration than others. And I have a deal that tells me what the concentration of a child is. And I think most is like 1.5 minutes. That's our situation in my house. Not much concentration. Can't get it. Doesn't pick it up. And something is said and she just keeps walking out. You go like, hey! Hey! Breakfast is ready. I have to go find her. Concentration is not there. And same with our children. It's like a little puppy dog. You know, they'll play with you a little bit, but all of a sudden they're out chasing dandelions and whatever, you know. Every child, they have this intellect. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? The intellect, reasoning, they're thinking. When Jesus spoke to them, they're thinking like, I wonder if he's really real or not. On and on and on. Same way with children. Number two, emotions. They said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while we talked to him by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Emotion, the will. All three, the heart involves the whole personality of man. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus, in the face of Jesus Christ. So our heart, when we accept Christ our personal Savior, God works in our heart. And we say, yeah, I want that. That's what I want. That's what I've been looking for. When I was 14 years old, Southside Baptist Church, East Lansing, Michigan, and I heard that preacher preach the stupidest thing. I had been sitting and listening to preachers for ever since I was a baby. Finally, it got, boom, I got it. Oh, that's what he's talking about. Amen. And that happened to these little children. My wife got saved when she was 4 years old in Vacation Bible School. She said, 4 years old? I know some 4-year-olds that are a lot more intelligent than some 13-year-old. You just see them at home. They're just like a little mother. They just do it. And then the other kids, you're kind of like, hey, I think you guys came from the same tree. What's the deal, huh? You know how that was. Yeah, yeah. Oh. Salvation by formula, number two. A series of affirmative answers to a number of leading questions after which child is assured he is now a Christian. That's bad, because that's called polyparity. How are you? I'll say that at home. I love you. I love you. I don't know if that's polyparity. You know, Polly was a bird. Polly wanted a cracker. Do you know what the 200-pound parrot said to the cat? Give me a cracker now! But anyway. 200-pound parrot. Okay. I don't want to be a Polly the parrot, these kids. I want to understand something. He said, but Pastor, I think all the time during member time. What's the problem? What are we here for? What's the most important thing? Invitation. That's what we're here for. That's why you have some extra tickets and you see The average kids in that class have been memorizing verses. You come back to class, you've taken on that class, you're talking about Jesus. You come back in and say, how many? You talking about how many? Well, they got 25. Whip off 25 and say, here, I know you didn't have time. What's the problem? Yep. Who cares? Who cares about the tickets? They're not your tickets. Sorry, I was in a wreck. This girl was going to work. She ran a red light and she hit me. I came down to my insurance agent, and I had never had an accident before, and I said, I need to fix my car. And this, what do they call those guys? Come around. Idiots. But anyway, he said, well, I don't know what we can do here. I said, hey, it isn't your money. Fix my car. He got rude with me. I called up Jim Warren, who was my... I said, let me, I don't want to deal with this guy. I want my car fixed. And that's why I've paid you thousands and thousands of dollars to Farmers Insurance Group to take care of my car. Just fix my car. I don't want it better. I just want it fixed. That's the same way some people work in Vacation Bible School. You think that it's your tickets. They're not your tickets. First of all, they're not yours to give away. Oh, memory time. There may be some kids have been working for this bicycle over there, and all of a sudden this other kid gets a hold of it. Where'd you get that? Well, Ricky gave them to me. What do you mean Ricky gave them to me? Well, he said, you're a good kid here. Now, remember verses. Now, there's a certain circumstances that happen, but, hey, I want these kids to get saved. That's the most important thing in my life. Do y'all understand that? Have I made myself really clear about number one? Number one is invitation time. Some principles to remember dealing with children. Number one, do not take advantage of their unsuspecting nature. You tell the kid that there's 300 watermelon over there and they have all of them, they believe it. Beware of having them hold up their hand. I do it once in a while in our church. But be careful about that when you're a deal. Give opportunities for the children to step forward and other children bow their heads and eyes close. Say, okay, but especially the teen groups and the older kids. Bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're here tonight, today, and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, would you just step one step forward? Once that happens, they've made the commitment, then you take them outside. Take them out of your room, and we have people to help you. All right? Simple as that. Give opportunity for children to remain behind after the service. They may want to talk to you. You don't have to go to, but make sure that you are covered by, make sure there's more than just you there. You understand that? I don't want you alone one-on-one. You got that? Nobody's alone one-on-one at Harry's Baptist Church.
Amen.
See what I'm trying to tell you? Hey, officer! Price, isn't that right? I don't want you to have to deal with him. And he will deal with you. And I'll help him. You're not going to hurt my kids. Ask them a question, determine their understanding. Do you understand what's going on? Example, why'd you come? Why do you want to get saved? How do you think you can be saved? What did God do so you could be saved? Why do you need to be saved? If he is not prepared to answer these questions, what do? Take him to the Lord's road again. Use as much care as is ethical, proper in dealing with the children. Honor their parents. If you have a child from our church, give the opportunity to their parents to lead their child to the Lord.
Amen.
Hey, there's Bierman. I'm sure your kid's not, your girl is, isn't she? But the boy isn't, right? Wouldn't that be terrible if somebody, okay, just let him know. Hey! I got a daddy and mama loves the Lord, and wouldn't it be great to say, my daddy led me to the Lord when I was a little boy. Huh?
Amen.
Yeah, so use some ethics. Honor the parents of our church. Amen. And let's see. If it's apparent the child is simply not ready, hey,
He ain't ready.
Don't force him. Do not force a decision. I hope you take this right from me. I just want you to know that my heart is really for these children. I owe it to my wife who got sanctification Bible school. This is her favorite time of the year. I know some people got saved at camp. You ought to work at camp. If you got saved at camp, I think you owe it to camp. You got saved at Gage and Bible school. There are just certain things in your life that just hum, makes you excited about serving God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've given to us. Lord, help us get all this done and done properly in order. Lord, we are looking forward to that time of invitation. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight and say, Preacher, I'm going to pray this week for Vacation Bible School next week. I'm going to put that at the head of my list. Would you raise your hand on that? Amen. Every time you think of it, just pray about it. 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 Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity we can serve you. And dear God, I pray you just help us as we go to our separate ways. Keep us safe. And Lord, the things that we have to do this week, some are not as exciting times as we would wish. But there are people out there that are hurting, heartaches, deaths, close to death. Lord, I pray, I even think of Jim and Linda, Lord, as their brother passed away yesterday, Tony. God be with them, Lord, as they're down grieving in North Carolina. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the work that was done so they could be there. I pray, Father, for Fern, Lord, as she's recovering from her hip surgery. Would you please, God, just be with her and strengthen her, be with Roy and Carol, Lord, look after and care of them. Be with Jerry. Lord, I pray that folks can stop over and see them over the Missouri River just to be with them for a little bit. Lord, others who are in heartaches and sorrows, pray for Sharon, Lord, who goes in for her back surgery. Be with our widows and our fatherless children. Lord God, now help us to work and do what you'd have us to do. And all God's people said, you're dismissed.